From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today is special on Brazil with an interview with former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva by Telesur's Ernesto Villegas. We go to that right now.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a pleasure. I'm very happy to be here. We are very honored to speak to you. Thank you for receiving us, despite your tight schedule, especially now. How do you describe this moment in the Federative Republic of Brazil? This is a very difficult moment. Our democracy has been dealt a deadly blow. Brazil is a young democracy, only 31 years of democracy. If we take as the starting point Sarney's election in 1975, but if you take the passing of the Constitution of 1988 as the starting point, it will be only 28 years. Therefore, in such a short period of time, we already have a coup. What happened in Brazil? This being an attack against democracy. Basic rights of democracy have been violated because a minority conservative group decided to suspend a president out of sheer dislike. Since this being no proven crime, no legal charges against President Dilma. Now, isn't this the same thing you did when you promoted the ousting of Collor de Mello in 1992? Well, it is different. In that occasion, there was a case regarding a vehicle, a Fiat. It was proven that an illegal act occurred. All the charges against him were not proven in the National Supreme Court. But it is not because it happened in 1992 that we need to repeat it wrongly in 2016. Dilma has demonstrated that this was no crime, that it was a clearly political decision by National Congress. So the Senate received the request and voted for the admissibility of the impeachment, and an interim government start acting as if it were an elected government, as if the impeachment trial had already taken place. They are about to discuss the merit, that's all. And the government is changing everything as if it were an elected government. So this almost mortal blow to Brazilian democracy has already received the blessing of the U.S. The U.S. representative to the UAS said that everything occurred according to the Constitution here in Brazil. Well, so far, I have not seen any reaction by President Obama. I think he is far more cautious than his representative to the U.S. He's going to wait for the final decision of the National Congress. It is right to wait for the Senate. Whatever the case, it is clear that the conservatives around the world, they cannot stand progressive left candidates concerned with poor people. Think the international support President Dilma is receiving has been huge, not only from political parties, intellectuals, writers, governing authorities, European Parliament, but also of international media. major conservative parties, or papers rather, have expressed their solidarity, and they are saying that this is a coup. However, the Brazilian press has been openly hostile. Yes, it is true. Brazilian press has been responsible of this coup, and they know so. They know that they have been responsible for this coup. At a given moment in time, they formed a solid and unanimous bloc against Dilma. We need only to watch TV and read the papers. Yes, TV, papers, they are unanimously in favor of the new government. An all too clear demonstration that the media played a key role to help to oust Dilma. And what about international media? Didn't they have a similar approach? Well, international media, they were very critical of the Brazilian economy a few months ago. However, they have showed solidarity to Dilma when they saw democracy in peril. The Guardian, the Economist, papers of around the world and Latin America, they decried this coup, and they considered this a political coup without impeachable crime, a persecution against President Dilma. It is a universal truth.
En estos 180 días que están corriendo, la presidenta
Dilma no está en el ejercicio pleno, not fully exercising her position as president. She is suspended.
Si ella no pudo demostrar su
if while in full exercise of her rights,
en la titularidad
she was unable to prove her innocence. Now that she is in a weaker position, you think she will be able to do it? The proof of innocence does not depend on the position. It should be based on relevant and material evidence, documents, and there was no crime. But aren't we facing a fait accompli to get rid of her? Well, the Speaker of the Lower House took revenge against her because, knowing that the Ethics Committee would punish him for his wrongdoing, he expected the 3PT member of the committee would help him to have a mild punishment, but they refused and voted against. So in retaliation, he accepted the petition of impeachment against Dilma out of sheer revenge. They say Dilma manipulated the budget of the union and of state-owned banks. That is not true. What she did already was done before by other rulers in Brazil. So perhaps she's been suspended, but the lawyers need to demonstrate and to prove the innocence of Dilma. What we expect is that now in the Senate, they will vote on the merits of the request. They already voted the admissibility. Now the Senate is going to vote approving, and 81 senators, they're going to discuss on the merits. And it is there that they're going to go in depth in the discussion and discuss the political, economic, and legal grounds. Do you really think that this is going to lead to the restoration of President Dilma? Well, in politics, you have to believe. Otherwise, you cannot be in politics. So you need to believe that you can do more than what you've been doing. So far, first, we need to strengthen social mobilizations, take to the streets, and in favor of democracy and in favor of the rule of law. Second, we need to talk to senators to prove the grave historical error they are making. The new government is conducting a coup. And senators, they accepted only the admissibility. However, President Temer is only an interim president, and Dilma is suspended for 180 days, or 100 days, or 80 days. She's suspended, but he has to govern as an interim president, but he has already become like the final president. And the message sent to the people is that the impeachment has already been decided and that Dilma cannot come back. Her future depends on 6 votes. She has to change the opinion of 6 senators. But it is no mission impossible. It is not impossible. She already convinced 54 million Brazilians to vote for her, so it's going to be easy to persuade these 6 senators. Are they going to be convinced by Lula, by the social movement in the streets, by international solidarity? Well, they will be convinced by their own conscience. Because I think they are mindful that they cannot go down in history as senators who have ousted an innocent president. They cannot do this. So society could help us. The intellectuals could also help. I can also help, but it is up to Dilma to do the most. She has to sit down and talk to each one of them and to say what she's planning to do when she returns to power. So these senators, they obey their conscience, their party, the de facto powers of Brazil. Well, I think they obey less their parties. I think some of them will obey their conscience, because sometimes, even though they are conservative, they have an ethical commitment with their past, their tradition. Not all conservatives are corrupt, are bandits. They are honorable people as well. So we have many honorable people, many people who voted for Dilma, or they didn't vote for her because she didn't treat them well. But I think it is still possible to convince these senators, and I'm ready to talk to them and talk to some colleagues, and many people could change their position, including some who already regret because of what Temer is doing. Well, Temer has appointed José Serra as foreign minister, and he has already announced a change in the Brazilian foreign policy, saying that the priority will be bilateral relations and not the blocs. He mentioned Argentina, the United States. Is he bidding goodbye to CELAC, UNASUR, Mercosur, and the BRICS? Well, you know, they are putting into practice what they believe. The Brazilian elite has always been very subservient to the United States. They think that the more subservient they are to the U.S. or to the European Union, well, they will benefit more Brazil, which is a mistake, because there is something I've learned, that those who do not respect themselves will not be respected by others. Brazil should not be subservient to the United States. It has to compete with the United States. Brazil should demonstrate that it is equal to the United States and even better than the United States. It has to compete with Europe, but it has to have the national politics taking into account the geopolitics, taking into account the fact that a country like Cape Verde, a small country or a central Central American country, Guyana, should be equally respected as we respect the United States. It's like Chico Huarque said, that Brazil is speaking meekly to the U.S., but toughly to Bolivia. We did the opposite in this country. We do not speak meekly to the U.S. and toughly to Bolivia. We speak in the same manner both to the U.S. and Bolivia. So the discourse of Serra is wrong. This is the discourse of the elite. They dislike the poor. They dislike the black. It is a discourse that doesn't like the underdogs, and they have an exclusively economic approach. And international politics is not solely commerce and trade. It has to do with state relations, is the environment, is everything, but they never try this. With the Brazilian elites again back in power, do you think that the FTA will be back? The FTA that you defeated together with Chavez and Kirchner in Argentina? It's difficult. It is very difficult. I think that we go through an exceptional period in South America. I do not think that any country in the region has ever gone through a better period than in this period. We have faced problems lately because of the economic crisis, but Brazil, Argentina, we had $46 billion in exchange, Brazil and Venezuela also. And there is a lot of wrong ideas about Venezuela in the, here in Brazil, but our relations with Brazil are better than with Venezuela, better than with Italy. So we need to make sure that we ensure peace, and this hemisphere has never gone through a period of peace as we have witnessed in the last 14 years, the trust among leaders. So they are going to turn their backs to South America, to Africa, to Asia, and to the BRICS. They do not assess the importance of the BRICS, the importance of China, India, South Africa, and Russia. They do not understand the importance of them. They represent half of world population. So I think they trying to please some people in the chamber floor. The measures taken by Temer, one of those was to revoke, for instance, an instrument signed by President Dilma for the building of social housing. In My House, My Life program. This is a major housing program in Brazil. And it was this mission, social mission of housing, well, was a topic I discussed with President Chavez, and it was based on Chavez's program, and my minister spent 6 months in Venezuela talking to the Venezuelan government in order to perform this program. So it was a mistake of Temer to make this comment, because this was a major commitment of President Kassabe, who is now a minister of Temer, minister of the cities. So I think President Temer, sometime in the future, he's going to review this position, because this mission has a strong approval, and housing is part of a process of recovery of the Brazilian economy and investing in the construction industry. So This is a decree that allows civil society to build their own houses unit. And this is amazing. I do not know if President Temer knew this, but this was a grave error and they will pay the price. President, do you see yourself as a future presidential hopeful? No, I don't think. I don't think I want to be a president candidate. I'm 70 years old. I think that someone else should become a president, a younger person, someone who has never been a president in the past. However, surveys favor you. The only way for me to become a president or become a candidate again is to prevent the dismantling of social inclusion policies being conducted in this country. It is difficult that our adversary to recognize our merits. In 2010, when Dilma became candidate, there was not a single politician in this country that had the courage to say something bad about my administration. And even Dilma's adversary started his campaign placing my picture, saying that he was my friend. So this is the result of a policy of social inclusion, the most important policy implemented in this country, the most important policy in this country. And during my 8 years and the 4 years of Dilma, we did things which were unthinkable in this country. We lifted 40 million people from poverty and take them to the middle class, the middle classes. We lifted 30 million people from extreme poverty. 54 million hectares of land were freed thanks to the land reform. 53% of all that we distributed during 500 years were distributed in 12 years. We send more people to university than in a century. We built more technical schools than in a century. And all those millions of beneficiaries, where are they? Why are not there in the streets in a resolute manner? Well, they are protesting. I learned that we should never do politics expecting the gratitude in the media. It takes time because people need to realize what happened. These recipients of these programs, from those who elected Dilma, those were the ones who elected her in 2010 and 2014, the ones who elected me. So they are there, someplace. Perhaps they are discontent, they are dissatisfied, because in our second term, we made mistakes. It is true, we made mistakes. We did not walk the talk. And now they are dissatisfied with our policies. And Dilma knows this. President Dilma knows this. Yes, they have been very critical with you. They now start going to the streets and protest in favor of democracy. They are dissatisfied with this government, but they do not accept President Temer. This person, they want their vote to be respected. They want Dilma to get better, but they do not want coup leaders. They do not want usurpers. And this is what take people to the streets. Now, what about corruption? Yes, corruption has had an impact. It happens all over the world. Corruption is very harmful. And you can see the history of humanity in various historic times. Corruption has been essential. But everything that is going on in this country is thanks to the Workers' Party. It was thanks to PT that we created the most important oversight mechanisms. It was thanks to PT that we implemented a policy in favor of education. We foster the election of the Attorney General proposed by other procurators. It is our party which created the most important office of the prosecutor and the overseeing mechanisms. And the ministry of the procurator office, they conduct the investigations. We created the transparency website, the Access to Information Act, so we can have access to any information in the palace, and we are very proud of these achievements. And if we did something wrong and someone did something improper, they have to pay for it. In Brazil, we need strong institutions, and the public prosecutor's office should be strong, robust, and federal policies should be very robust, and to have a strong institution, fair and just institutions, because we cannot make any mistakes. And I've been saying for more than a year that PT has been criminalized. They want to send PT to become an illegal party, to the underground. But in this process, we could harm people. We can make mistakes. But I hope once this is over, Brazil will be even stronger and less corrupt, and Brazil could punish those who need to be punished, but should be free those who are innocent. In the media, they are commenting the conviction of José Dirceu, and they say also that now it is Lula's turn. There seem to be some factors who want to see Lula not only out of politics but also in jail. Yes, there are many people for 2 years, and they are saying that all that is happening is to prevent Lula to become candidate in 2018. Many people are saying this. However, I'm very calm, because not only I am my conscience clean, I'm very, I have a peace of mind, because as a citizen, as a former president, as a former deputy, I only hope that the institutions will be stronger and will work properly, because it is only through strong institutions that we can ensure democracy in this country. I think that we need to be mindful of the following. The left governed Latin America for 12 years. And I think that during each period, there must be a recycling period. We have to modernize our attitudes to find new utopia, so society could evolve towards new expectations, a better world, that something better could happen and their lives will be better. That's the dream of society. If as rulers we do not meet these requirements, well, when people achieve a university diploma, for instance, a university degree, they're going to thank you forever. But after the degree, they want a good job, and then they want a good salary, and then they want a good health program. So that's logic. And that's the wonderful thing about humanity, because we are always trying to find something better. Because just imagine, if it were not the case, we would have stayed at the 19th century. So society evolves through these dreams, even more today with the internet and technology. This is a revolution in the people's behavior, something we did not know in the 20th century, in my generation. So all of us, the left leaders, socialists who work to have a policy of social inclusion, we need to be mindful of the fact that we need to innovate. We need to be careful of what we say. We need to raise an utopia. We need to trigger a new dreams. If we do not do that, we won't be able to renew ourselves. If we do that, we can then govern for a long time.
And we'd like to thank Telesur and Ernesto Villegas for that interview of the former Brazilian president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. I'm Don DeBar.